We have, without advantage, a series of issues, Richard, which obviously will be addressed, I think, for the rest of the day, if not the rest of the series of conferences, in terms of framing some core issues for this conference. We have a number of our Chinese colleagues who have been unable to appear, so which means we have a bit more time for discussion and to pick up on these key questions which have been asked. Professor Peng, you will make a response, and then we will ask David Ajay to also comment, and then we will open up the discussion to follow up on the key questions raised by these presentations.
So I enjoyed the three presentations very much. I'm giving 5 minutes to respond to the three presentations. The first, I would like to say some words about Shanghai is a diversity city. Shanghai is a magic city with rapid economic growth, huge opportunities for business entrepreneurs, ambitious young graduates, and foreign investors. And also is a marvelous place for designers, developers, architects. However, Shanghai is not only a city for successful persons. Shanghai is also a city for the ordinary people. Among Shanghai's 17 million long-term residents in Shanghai, now we have 2.5 million elderly people. Most of them now currently live in the city center areas. And we have people, they are not rich enough. In Shanghai, we said as a per capita GDP, now we have already reached $5,000. Although it's international speaking is still low, but by Chinese standards, it's one of the highest in China. With this kind of the richness, however, in Shanghai, we still have about 600,000 people. They are living under the poverty line. It means about more than 4% of Shanghai's native people, now they are living under poverty. So when the cities, the annual average income is about 1,400 yuan per person per month. For this kind of the people, they live under the poverty. Is their dispensable income for every person is less than 290 yuan per person per month. So we still see a lot of diversities happening in Shanghai. Now, and also regarding the very rapid urban transformation, we see that the development of the service industries, and we see the downside of the manufacturing industries. In the over the last 10 years, more than 1 million labor force experienced or are experiencing the unemployment problems. At the moment, we have the registered unemployed person, so about 4.8% of the urban labor force. I mean, I exclude all these kind of migrants' labors, only this kind of native labor force. So it means about 300,000 people now they are currently registered as unemployed. So that's we can see it's a city of a diversity. However, I quite agree with Richard's remark about what's the really some kind of theory, some ideas behind all this kind of urban development. As a Shanghainese, I found that's a very sad tendency in Shanghai that designers, developers, or even local government are very keen to develop those projects basically for the urban elite or for the successful persons. You will see in Shanghai we have many of these kind of monumentary these kind of buildings. However, what's for? Why? What are these kind of the buildings for ordinary people or for the elite, urban elite? And leave those projects for the ordinary people are residual. And even for the urban government, okay, if you want to develop some kind of very rich, very marvelous piece of the architecture or the designers, then you have to do something for this kind of design, some kind of develop some kind of housing for the poor people. So this becomes residue. So we found other problems, like the we individually we have a much larger private spaces per capita housing space for every Shanghai people now is much bigger than before. However, we have a much smaller public space, or more accurately, public space for those daily used public public space. We have many kind of more museums. We have the bigger squares. But for the ordinary people, for these older people, for these young people, for these kids, where they can play with. So this kind of public space will become smaller and smaller. Then regarding a few words regarding the this kind of migrants, Professor Wang gave us a very detailed, very thorough description about how these kind of migrants, their conditions in Shanghai. Now I think that this kind of the segregation between the native Shanghainese and the migrant worker in Shanghai are caused by basically two factors. On the one hand is China's dual system in socio-economic systems. Now this is already we are inherited from the central planning systems. So this is already in effect for the over the last 50 years. But on the other hand, also this kind of the segregation is caused by the decentralized financial and the social security system. Because for the local area, so it's the local government responsible for providing all the social welfare provisions for the education, for security, for the food, for the poverty alleviation. So it's the local government, it's dependent on local budget. There is no centralized or universal applicable the social security system exists in China. So that's why we often found the problems. So this kind of the younger generation of the migrant workers, so they cannot get a free education in Shanghai. Because in Shanghai, you have to get the financial support from the taxpayer of native Shanghainese. So that's the local government very reluctant to use this money to provide free education to the migrant workers' kids. Similar, since it's also true to this kind of the healthcare systems, to the public, other welfare system. Of course, nowadays the government realizes the migrant worker is an integral part of Shanghai's labor force. So they should be mingled with the local people. Then in that way, now we can really develop a harmonious society in China and in Shanghai. And also I would like to make some comparisons between Beijing and Shanghai regarding the migrant work and regarding some other personalities or the special features of the urban development. For example, in Beijing, in the past, all the migrants workers, they usually live together. They organize a special community named by their localities, like in Xinjiang village or Zhejiang village. But this is never the case in Shanghai. For the Shanghai government, at the very beginning, they try to avoid to this kind of concentration of a single community. People all come from the same places. So now this, I think, that you will find in Shanghai, the migrant workers really lived scantily or very spread to all over the city and live together with the urban native residents. I think these are some difference between the Shanghai's case and the Beijing's case. And also, if you stay in Shanghai longer, although Richard said only 5 days here, but you can still find these kind of different characteristics or different residential areas. In the Xintiandi area, in the Huaihai Road, or in the Hengshan Road, in the historical area, you will find this kind of full of the personality and characteristics of this kind of area. But if you really visit the Pudong area, you will find also very big, bigger project, very high-rise buildings, and a very wide road. then you cannot find any of this kind of personality there. Then you will find in Pudong, it's just a copy of Manhattan, or copy of the new development project of London. So there is no their personality there. So now I think that to some extent that we may blame Shanghai's government is too eager to develop Shanghai, become an entirely new city. On the other hand, also we can blame, maybe I'm wrong, for this kind of foreign architecture designers. They fulfill their dreams. They cannot do these kind of buildings in their own country. So they bring their design into China, then with the Chinese money, with China's enthusiasts, then develop all these kind of monumentary buildings. So maybe I'm criticized is wrong, but it's really some of my feelings. Thank you very much.